Hey, hey, this is Julie, and you're listening to Grace Over 40, the podcast for women over 40 who want to get back in touch with who they are and where they're headed and match the faith they're wanting to the faith they're living. But this ain't your mama's Christian podcast, so buckle in for some real talk and a good sprinkle of humor, along with some faith-filled encouragement as we ride this 40s thing out together. Thanks so much for being here. Hey, before we dive into today's episode, I wanted to give you another quick update on the Activate studies. There are more now that are ready to go. They were pre-ordering for a while, and now I have five that are completely ready to go, so you can purchase them and get them immediately. I wanted to let you know about these real quick, because if you haven't heard me talk about these were all born out of all of the hard stuff that I went through in my 40s and all of the things that I learned the hard way. So I basically felt super called to share a lot of these, I guess, life lessons with my audience. And so you guys have the benefit of kind of getting the cliff notes on all this stuff. So let me just run through the ones that are available right now and see if any of this speaks to you. The first one is activate trust in God. So you always hear you're supposed to let go and let God. Well, how do we actually do that in our lives? Like it can be easier said than done a lot of the time. So this kind of gives you like a roadmap to actually implementing that. The next one is activating self-discipline. So if you are somebody who starts and stops things a lot or finds yourself getting stuck when you have a goal and you just can't quite reach it or anything along those lines, this is for you. It's a roadmap to helping you stay focused, motivated, and on track. The next one is activate a deeper relationship with God. And I don't think I need to tell you that this is where it all begins. This is where all the good stuff stems from. So this one will help you nurture and grow your relationship with God. There's also activate self-worth. This one is hugely important for us as women, and I think really specifically in our 40s, because we can start having a lot of self-doubt, identity issues, self-esteem problems, all of those things. So this one will help you ditch self-doubt and really, truly, fully embrace who God says you are, which is the truth about you. Spoiler alert. Activate Your Purpose is also available. This will help you uncover God's calling on your life. What is your purpose? What's your reason for being here? This will actually take you through several different exercises that can help you look at your strengths and find your spiritual gifts and kind of use all of that together to figure out what your purpose is in this world. And then there's two more that are coming soon. Activate Hearing from God and also Activate a Great Marriage will be coming within the next couple of weeks as well. But you guys, I can't tell you how much of my heart I poured into this. I made these really simple. They are 7 steps each. So you can implement 1 step a day and knock them out in a week if you want to. You can take a little bit more time with them. There's something that you can go through numerous times. So it's not just kind of like a one and done type thing. You can repeat the steps if you feel like there's certain things that you need to work on strengthening. But they are meant to get you taking action right away and actually putting what the Bible says into action and implementing it in your life so that you really start to see real change in these areas. So please head over to the website, graceover40.com, and check these out. I would love for you to pick up a couple of these. Again, they're called the Activate Studies. Thanks so much for listening. Hello, hello. Welcome to episode 27 of the Grace Over 40 podcast. I missed you guys. I took a couple of week hiatus, which you may or may not have noticed. For a couple of reasons. I turned 50 last week. And so, you know, I had kind of all the birthday stuff going on last week. I took a couple of days off from pretty much everything, spent some time with my family. Just kind of enjoyed not doing anything, to be quite honest. And then also, more importantly, I think that a lot of us have been using the time over the last couple of weeks to do some self-reflection. So my voice has not been an important voice over the last couple of weeks because I have been trying to remain silent and learn from those who have things to teach me about racial equality and my part that I can play to better that situation in this country, in the world, in my life, with my neighbors in every single regard. So I have also been just doing a lot of listening. I hope that you have been doing the same. I think a lot of us have had a lot of light bulb moments over the last couple of weeks, and there's some work to do. There just is. I have work to do. you likely have work to do. There's just a lot of work to do. So I hope that it will be something that you will take seriously both now and moving forward into the future. I did want to share one quick resource about this. It's been something that's been helping me tremendously. And so I did want to share with you really quickly that I did find an organization called Be the Bridge that is super helpful. They have a Facebook group that has all kinds of resources and different units within the group where you can learn and grow and be enlightened. And they also have an email list that you could get on where they send things out. There is a book as well that I highly recommend that you order. It's called Be the Bridge, Pursuing God's Heart for Racial Reconciliation. And just, it's time for us to do some work, guys. So please do your part. That being said, the topic of today's podcast is the 10 most important things I learned in my 40s. So as I mentioned, I turned 50 last week. And I've had a couple people say, oh gosh, now you're going to have to call it Grace Over 50. Well, no, because 50 is still over 40, right? I'm still over 40. I'm not in my 40s, but it's not called Grace in your 40s. It's called Grace Over 40. So I still qualify. And I really just had taken some time to reflect over the last few days about my 40s and about what I've learned and about this ministry and Grace Over 40 in general and what I'm here to do and who I'm here to serve and how I'm supposed to serve you and what God wants me to do with this platform. And I think that the best thing to do right now to move forward is just to, as I enter my 50s, to share with you some of the huge, huge lessons that I learned in my 40s. If you have followed me for a while, you have probably heard some of my stories about things that happened in my 40s. It was an incredibly tumultuous decade in my life. I had the highest highs with the birth of my son to the lowest lows with everything that I went through with my husband and his addiction and struggle with bipolar and suicide attempts. And, you know, I had a lot of battles within myself that I needed to work on and try to get past. It's just been, I mean, I went through a massive midlife crisis. I completely went off the rails. I made some horribly terrible choices at the beginning of my 40s. Just, y'all, when I tell you that it was a drama-filled, difficult, crazy decade, that is just putting it mildly. Trust me. So let's talk about what I learned, because my whole goal with this platform is to keep you from having to go through all the super crappy stuff to figure it out the hard way like I did. And I know very, very well that a lot of times the Lord will bring us through things that are super difficult because we are then supposed to talk to other people about how they can get through it and how they can maybe not even have to go through it in the first place or be a support for somebody who's currently going through it or whatever the case. And so I know that even though I went through so many difficult things, that it was all for a good reason. And I know now that I enter my 50s, I know that this is the work that I'm here to do. I have zero doubt about that. The 40s are a hugely pivotal time in our lives. I want to say that again, you guys, because I need you to get the gravity of this. Our 40s are a monumentally pivotal, huge pivotal time for us. I know so many people whose lives took a complete turn, did a complete, 180, just either went totally off the rails or whatever the case. Like their lives just changed drastically in their 40s. And I think that there's a number of things that contribute to that. And we've talked about some of those things before. You know, we start questioning our identity. We start physically getting older and showing the signs of aging. We've been in marriages sometimes or relationships for a really long time, and those start feeling stagnant. We start feeling restless. We start, you know, considering having affairs. Our 40s are statistically the time that most women are most likely to get divorced. Our kids don't need us so much anymore. It's just, there's just so many different transitions that happen with our jobs, with just anything. There's so many things that really just start to change at this time in our lives. And I think that that's why, I know that that's why the whole midlife crisis thing exists, right? I know that that's why so many women find themselves in a really tough spot or heading into what's going to be a really tough spot. And they don't know how to change it or stop it or handle it correctly or any of those things. So today I want to share with you, out of all the crap I went through, what were the 10 gleaming things that I can look back and say, that was a lesson, that was a lesson, that was a lesson. So let's talk through some of these. These are in no particular order. I just kind of jotted them down here. And as a matter of fact, this is more than 10, Jules. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. There's 11. Okay. So, instead of just trying to go through and take one of these out right now, we're going to do the 11 important things. Okay. The 11 most important things that I learned. The first is time with God is essential. Do not give him your leftovers. This has to be a priority. So our lives are busy. We know this. We have a trillion things to do any given day. We have to-do lists, running to-do lists just on the daily, right? I don't know about you, but there's not one single day in my life that I don't have a to-do list of things that I really should take care of. Now, do I get them all done all the time? Usually not. But I usually have several things that I need to do on any given day. We're busy. We're stressed. There's a lot going on. A lot of times what we tell ourselves is, I want to do this so badly. I want to be able to sit down in the morning and open my Bible or open a devotional or, you know, spend some time in prayer or whatever it would look like for you. But I just don't have time. Like, I just don't have time. My evenings are so crazy and I fall into bed exhausted at night. And I really do need those extra hours of sleep in the morning. And just, I can't fit it in, but I will someday. I will. That's something that I really want to do. And I am going to fit that in someday. Sister friend, someday is now. Because if you're not doing this, you are not in tune with where God is trying to take you and what he's trying to tell you. He's not just going to show up on a billboard as you're driving down the street one day on your way to work. Hey, this is my plan for your life if you're ready to get on board. Or hey, you should probably not be doing XYZ. Or hey, you should be doing ABC. Or, you know, whatever he's trying to get through to you right now. Hey, here's how you can handle that difficult situation you're in. Hey, that's not actually this. The choice that you just made over here is not going to end up very good. We need to talk about that. There's not going to be a billboard rented with this information on it. You get this information, which will help you shape your path and help you be on the right track from spending time with God and his word, talking to him, connecting with him, partnering with him. You need to do it. You have to do it. And it can't just be, if I have time or when I get time, it has to be, I will make time, because nothing else should be happening until I do that. And how do I know this? Because I've lived my life without it and I've lived my life with it, and I cannot even begin to describe to you the difference. It is extremely important. It doesn't have to be an hour-long sesh. It can be 5-10 minutes. If that's truly all you can eke out of your schedule, and let's be honest here for just a quick second. Do you have a tracker on your phone, an app or a tracker built into your phone that logs the amount of time that you are on social media? Instagram, Facebook, Pinterest, Twitter, YouTube, each week. You probably do. My iPhone has it where I can pull it up and see exactly how much time I've spent on social media. I guarantee you, it is more than 5 or 10 minutes a day. It's probably more like an hour a day or more. So for you to truly feel like you do not have time to fit God into your life, it's just not true. It's not true. I know it seems like there's just so much going on, but social media is just another piece of the puzzle that the enemy uses to take our time away from what we really should be doing. And like I said, you can't just give him your leftovers. Do you want him to give you his leftovers? Do you want you to kind him to kind of sort of give you, you know, some good stuff and maybe a little bit of the leftovers of the best that he had for somebody else? Of course not. So if you expect to be blessed and want to be blessed and want to have the life he has for you, then you didn't need to make him a priority. You just need to do this, okay? Just do it. Please, just do it. So important. So important. Okay, that was probably the biggest soapbox one. Let's move on. The next one, this is something that if you had told me when I was entering my 40s that this was a thing, I would have told you you were absolutely crazy, because I lived my life being led around by my feelings. Feeling number one that I was led around by was worry. I thought that I was just a worrywart by nature. This is how I am. This is how my mother was. This is how my grandmother was. This is just my genetic makeup, and this is who I am destined to be. And I have a lot of worry on my mind and in my heart at all times, and it's nothing that I, and I hate it, but there's nothing I can do about it. False. Worry is a feeling. Being led around by your feelings is a recipe for disaster. Because guess what? A lot of those things that I referenced at the beginning of this podcast when I was talking about all of the stuff that starts to kind of go cray-cray and sideways in our 40s, guess where a lot of those decisions come from? Guess where a lot of those bad decisions come from? The way you feel. The way you feel about whatever situation's going on in your life that makes you uncomfortable. It starts with a thought, which leads to a feeling, which turns into an action, which affects your life. So if you are letting yourself be led around with your feeling, by your feelings, it's time to change some things. Your 40s are the perfect time to start to grow and to start to change some of this stuff so that you can end up where you're truly supposed to be instead of just having to be like knocked around and figure things out as you go, like I was. By the way, this is the whole reason why I created the Activate Study series. So if you are not familiar with Activate Studies, please go to my website, graceover40.com, and check those out. Those were specifically designed to help you be intentional about making positive changes in your life in your 40s that will lead to a more peaceful, beautiful future. So once I learned that I could control my feelings, once I learned that I was not supposed to be led around by them, it was a total game changer. Another thing that I always thought was something that was super important, and this was another way that I felt, is I felt like I needed to be strong. I needed to be in control. I needed to handle the situation. As a matter of fact, I not only needed to handle my situation, but I needed to handle other people's situation too. Like a lot of times somebody would say, hey, I have this problem. And I'm like, all right, let's jump in. Let's do this. What are we going to do? How are we going to handle this? How are we going to manage it? And feeling like I needed to be in that position, whether it was in my own life or in someone else's life, was very overwhelming. I realized through doing that over and over and over and over again that it wasn't my place a lot of the time. I was not equipped to handle everything by myself all the time. And I wasn't supposed to be, because if we could do it all ourselves, we wouldn't need God. So I was doing that completely wrong. So feeling any certain way, feelings are good. They're there to protect you in some instances. And God did give us feelings that are, you know, pleasurable and happy and et cetera. And there is times when you're going to be sad, you're going to be mad, you're going to be worried, you're going to be whatever. But it's what you do with those that's important. So huge lesson there. The next thing is, girl, we have so much to learn. We have so much to learn. Even now, entering my 50s, I still know that I have so many places that I need to grow. But I didn't think that I really had any places that I needed to grow when I was at the end of my 30s and going into my 40s. I thought I had it pretty together. I thought I was doing all right. Like I said, I was strong. I was in control of my situation. I had a good career. I felt like I had my shiz together pretty well. I did on the outside. But once God started working in me through my in my 40s, which that is it. That's a really huge time of your life when God shows up, I think, for the reasons that we discussed, because you are kind of on this precipice of it's either going to go one way or the other typically. And I think he shows up in our 40s a lot to help us grow. It's our decade to grow. It's our decade to learn. It's our decade to spiritually mature. And it is our decade to figure out who we truly are and where he was trying to take us. So once he started calling me out on some stuff, and it's never condemnation. It's never, you know, something that feels like you're so bad and God's mad at you or anything like that. It's not like that at all. But he just showed me several places in my life where I was not acting, being, and doing what I was supposed to be. I've talked about before about how I realized that I was selfish in a lot of ways. And I never thought I was selfish. I thought, you know, I thought that I was a pretty giving, pretty supportive kind of person. But he exposed a lot of selfishness in me. And that's just one example. Oh my gosh, there's 20 others. But it's been things that I've needed to work on and work through. And like I said, not in a bad way, not like I have come through my 40s like, oh my gosh, I was such a terrible person. That's not it at all. He's just bringing me from who I ended up being through my life and through the circumstances that I had been through to who he is trying to bring me or who he is trying to grow me into. And as we all know, the goal is for us to be more like Christ, right? To be more in his image, not just in one regard, but in every regard. So it is a beautiful pruning process, and it feels so amazing when you start having these realizations and realizing that there's things that you can change and then starting to change them and then starting to see the people around you react to that and seeing your circumstances change and seeing your life change. It's just incredible. So he always brings us through these learning periods and times of refinement to bring us to better, to bring us to what he has for us, which is always so much better than we would have had if we just stayed stuck in how we knew how to do things. So we have a lot to learn. If you are just entering your 40s, if you are even in the middle of your 40s and you don't feel like you really have been kind of tapped on the shoulder with some of this stuff, it's likely coming. And it's kind of one of those situations, honestly, where we can either do it the hard way or we can do it the easy way. Like, it's funny because Joyce Meyer talks about how basically if you are brought up a mountain by God because he's trying to teach you something or show you something, and you kind of don't get it, like you're going through this challenging situation and you kind of don't get it and you kind of don't learn from it, then you're just going to have to walk right back down the mountain in order to climb it again, because he's going to keep bringing you back to what he is trying to teach you and what he's trying to show you and how he is trying to grow you until you get it, because that's the whole point. And I have been there, and there's still some things that he's been working with me for a while, and I still keep backsliding and I still keep, you know, falling off the wagon, as they say. But it's not going to be a perfect line. You know, we're going to do better. We're going to do not so good. We're going to feel like we're making progress. Then we're going to not. But the overall trajectory is going to be in a positive motion. And like I said, along the way, you will get those rewards of things around you changing as things in you change, which is just the best feeling ever. The next one is kind of in line with what we were just talking about. You got to follow God. You got to follow what he's trying to do in your life. And how are you going to do that unless you realize you have a lot to learn and spend time with him? So really, there's really three steps to following God. There's really three steps to getting in line with what he has for you and where he's trying to take you. You got to ask. Number one, where am I headed, Lord? What do you have for me? What do I need to be doing differently? When do I need to not be doing anything? When do I need to just sit back and trust you to do your part? Ask. You got to have that conversation. Then after that, a lot of times the asking looks like prayer, right? Well, a lot of times people will say their prayers at night or in the morning or whatever, and they'll just sit down and they'll say, okay, Lord, I need your help with A, B, and C, and if you could just manage these things for me and take care of it, that'd be great. Okay, thanks. And that's it. And they go about their day. Not tuning back in to anything he's trying to tell them or show them, just saying, okay, if you could just handle this, it's like you go and you set it on his desk and then you say, okay, cool. And then just walk out and just don't even check back in or, you know, see if you need to help at all or anything. You just like drop it on his desk and peace out. That's not how you do it. After you ask, you need to listen. You need to look. Is he trying to show you something? How does he talk to us? A lot of times through his word. If you're not spending time in the word, you're going to miss it. See how all of these things kind of are interconnected? So first step is ask. Second step, you got to listen. Like I said, there's not going to be a billboard on the side of the road all of a sudden. There's not going to be, you know, a bottle that just drops down from a popped balloon and just hits your lap with a note inside from God letting you know what the answer is to your prayer or what you need to do or whatever the next step is. You got to listen. You got to look for it. You got to be in tune with that and open to that and looking for that. And then the third part of it, once you find out, you got to act on it. And spoiler alert, sometimes it's not going to be what you want to do. True story. I'm just saying. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes he's going to tell you just to sit down, which he uses that on me a lot. And I don't like that because, like I said, I'm used to going and trying to find a solution and trying to figure things out myself. And that's been a huge one for me in my 40s. He's like, girl, sit down. Give me a chance. I can't help you if you're running ahead of me all the time. So sometimes we do have a part to play. Sometimes we do need to actually act on something. Sometimes our part is just to not do anything and to just wait and let him do his part and to be okay with that for a while. And that a lot of times is even harder than trying to figure out what we need to do, is just realizing that we don't need to do anything. So that's definitely something to keep in mind, that might be your answer. And you may not want to hear that, but sometimes that's just the way that it is. So follow God. Ask, then listen, then act. The next one, which is number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I feel like I'm just kind of blah, 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 and I probably am, but this stuff gets me really fired up because the change in my life over the last 10 years, you guys, has just been so massive, and all of these things are a part of it. So since I don't really have like a rooftop that I can climb up on and shout it off the proverbial rooftop, this is the next best thing. And so I am fired up about sharing these things with you. And I want you to know that these were all born out of difficulty and learning things the hard way. And I don't want that for you. So please, please take these things to heart. The next one is, it is important to find your purpose. So as you may or may not know, I spent 10 years in a career that I did not love, and that's putting it more than mildly. It was not for me. It was not my path. I was not well suited for it, but I made decent money and it was where I found myself. And I just was too scared to move from there for a really long time. So because of that, I stayed where I was not supposed to be for much longer than I was supposed to be there, which also contributed to a lot of the difficulty that I experienced in my 40s because I was under a massive amount of stress and I had a lot of trouble with other things in my life because I carried that into all, you know, everything else that was going on. My relationships, it affected like my health, it affected everything. So that is something that I really wish that I had tuned into way before I did, because now that I am walking in my purpose, the feeling of just peace and life just feels light and it just feels like I'm in the right place and it feels like I'm home. I know that sounds super corny, but it really does. Now, one thing that I do want you to know is that finding your purpose might not mean changing your career. Your purpose may not be what you do for a living. It might be something that you do after work. It might have something to do with volunteering. It might have something to do with helping out at your church. It might have to do with kids. You know, I don't know. I don't know what it looks like for you, but it doesn't always equate to a massive overhaul of your whole career and your life and everything else like it looked like for me. Now, that might be the case if you're being called to ministry. That might be the case, and you might need to be open to that and understand that that could potentially be your path. But your purpose is not always wrapped up in your career. It can be something independent of that. So just FYI. But whatever the case, I really, really do encourage you to try to seek out what that is, because you were created for a specific purpose on this earth. And until you find it, you're always going to feel that something's a little bit off in your life, or maybe a lot off in your life, because God put that inside of you. And until you connect with it and start walking in it, there's always going to be something missing. There just is. So if you need some help to that end, one of the Activate studies that I have is about finding your purpose. And I give you specific steps that you can walk through, different exercises that you can do to figure out what your purpose might be, how you can figure out your spiritual gifts, your strengths, your passions, all of those things that which are wrapped up into and play a part in who He created us to be and what are the purpose that He has for us. You can pick that up and you can check those things out, and it all kind of works together. And it's really cool when you start moving through those exercises. I did that and it pointed exactly to what I do now. Before what I do now was even a thing for me, before I even realized that Grace Over 40 was even going to exist, all of the strengths and spiritual gifts and everything that I've had my entire life were like perfect pieces of a puzzle to exactly what I do right now. So if you don't want to pick up the Activate study to help you with that, find another way. Just please try to pursue what is your purpose in this calling in this world, purpose and calling in this world, because that's what you're here for at the end of the day. Oh, okay, cool. So I didn't plan this very well, y'all. I'm out of practice. I apologize. So one of these is actually talking about worrying and about how it's a choice. And we kind of covered that under the feelings aren't facts. So now we're back to 10 important things. Now we're back to 10. Okay. So we've gone from 10 to 11 to 10. So we're good. We're on track. We're square. Then I can leave the title the same. We talked about this a little bit too, but I want to delve into it a little bit deeper. And that is that being selfless is greater, so much greater than being selfish. Let's talk about what that means and how it looks. So first of all, this is a tough one. It's a super tough one because we are born selfish. We are. Even when we're little kids, we can be selfish with our toys. We're selfish with our candy. You know, we're created that way. And I think that the reason why is because this is one of the lessons that we need to learn as we try to grow and develop and spiritually mature to be more like Christ. Selflessness sometimes feels very against our nature because we are used to being selfish with our time and our resources and our attention and all of those things. But how that ends up affecting everything else in your life is where the problem comes in. So for me, selfishness showed up a lot in my relationship. My husband is very sweet and he is very giving and he's always done a lot of things for me. And so it was really easy to just kind of fall into the pattern of letting him kind of take care of things and letting him kind of take care of me. And it almost became an expectation. And that's embarrassing to say, but it's true. Because when somebody is giving to us, a lot of times we just get used to that and we take advantage of that. And we don't really think about the fact that we are not reciprocating enough, which in most cases we're not. So my challenge to you is to think about ways that you can be more selfless in your relationship, not just with your partner, with your kids, with your friends, with your parents. How can you be more selfless at your job? How can you be more selfless in your neighborhood, in the grocery store? Like, there's just so many ways that we can put this into practice. And this is biblical, y'all. We are supposed to be giving to others and serving others and caring for others and loving on others and supporting others and not just worried about me, me, me all the time. You know, a relationship is really the prime example of where this usually rears its ugly head. I mean, when you start hearing about people who are having relationship problems, what's the first thing that they say? Well, he never does XYZ for me. He never tells me that I look nice. He never buys me anything. He never does things for me. He never, you know, just all of these things that's just like, what's in it for me? And while, yes, relationships should be beneficial to both people, if you are only concerned about what you are not getting instead of what you are giving also, that's where the problems start. And then, of course, if your only focus is on you and what you're getting out of the relationship, and the other person's focus is the same as far as what they're getting out of their relationship, then, of course, you're probably headed for disaster. Because if both of you are so me-centered and neither one of you are trying to get outside of that and really practice selflessness, it's not going to work out very well. So that is a huge one. And again, it's against our nature sometimes. It feels uncomfortable, but it's so important. Please try to look for ways that you can be selfless in your life. The next one is, what number are we on? I should have numbered these instead of just bullet points. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. This is number 8. I'm such a super unprofessional podcaster. And y'all know by now, like, I want this to be just a conversation. I want this to be just like, we're just hanging out and chilling at Starbucks or whatever, and I'm just talking to you. That's why I don't really edit my podcast. That's why I don't go back and fix all the ums and the things like this where I'm flubbing the numbers. And it's just loose and free, y'all. It's loose and free. We're just having a little conversation. I'm just spilling my guts, and it's like you're sitting here in my living room. The next one is that my plan is not the plan. And I was so offended when I realized this. Because like I said, I've always been a control freak. And how can I fix things? And okay, we have a problem. Here we go. And I would practically, it was almost this bad, not even kidding. I would practically make an outline with like the Roman numeral 1, and then like the, what comes next, like the capital letters, A, B, C, D, and then the lowercase letters under those of all the little action items and everything. That's about like that, or a flow chart was pretty much kind of like my MO when a problem would arise. Like, that's kind of how thoroughly I tried to address things. Well, I found out the hard way a lot of times that was my plan. And what was missing in my flow charts and my outlines and my action items was God. What does he want me to do? What does he want to happen? What is he going to do himself that is not anything that I'm supposed to even be touching? Never took it into consideration for many, many years. And then I would turn around and wonder, why in the world is this falling apart? How is it possible that I am working so hard and doing all of these things? Just look at my flowchart. Look at all the stuff I'm doing. How am I still struggling? Why is this problem not fixed? How come I haven't moved forward? Why am I not farther along? Well, it was because that was only my plan. And my plan's not the plan. And guess what? Your plan is not the plan either. Now, we're supposed to have a part in it, but we're not supposed to be the total ringmaster running the whole thing. You have to go back to what we talked about, where you're asking and listening and then making your plan and acting according to what you've been shown, not just how you feel and what you think, because feelings aren't facts. That was number 2. See how these all kind of work together? It's funny. So your plan is not the plan. My plan is not the plan. God's plan is the plan, and it's our responsibility to get in touch with and cooperation with what that plan is. His plan. Number whatever, let's say 8 because I'm tired of counting. Trust is everything. So the first part of it is you have to give up the control in order to get in line with the plan. But the second part, which is the harder part, is to not pick control back up when things aren't going quickly enough for you, or when things aren't going exactly how you thought, or when you don't really see anything happening and you're like, you know what, this is not working. I need to step back in. You have to develop trust. Trust, without trust in God and what God is trying to do in your life, you are never going to be able to stay the course of staying in your own lane and letting him do what he's trying to do in your life. You just won't. Trust is everything. Guess what I wrote an Activate study about? Trust. Trust in God. How to trust in God. How to let go and let God. How to keep your hands off the wheel even when it's hard and you want to grab it back. Seriously, you guys, I'm telling you, all of these studies came out of all of these lessons. I'm serious. It's been such a decade of just learning and realizations, and I want that for you too. I don't want you to have to figure it out the hard way. So please consider it, picking up one or two. Go look at them and see what they are and see what they cover and see which one sounds like you, if any of them, and then just grab it and let's do some work. Let's not have to learn it the hard way, because he will bring you to the mountain, friend. He's going to bring you to the mountain. So you can be proactive or you can be reactive when it happens. Just saying. It can go one way or the other. So yeah, trust. Trust is everything. You have to trust in what he's doing. The next one is in line with that kind of as well. You need to be intentional. Our 40s are the beginning of the second half of our life, most likely. We don't know how long we're going to live, but statistically, we can figure that our 40s, they call it midlife, right? So we're right there. We're halfway between what we've done and what we still have left to do in our time on this earth. How do you want it to look? When I look back at the first 40 years of my life, there were some things that I was intentional about, that I made decisions about, and that I really felt like were spirit-led and God-led. But there was way more things where I was just kind of like, whoa, okay, so that happened. So now I got to figure this out. Oh my gosh, okay, that was not a part of the plan. Let's go to plan B. Like reactive. Like for so much of my life, just in that reactive mode about, okay, redirect, plot twist. I mean, just constantly. When I look back, that's what a lot of it looks like. I'm not doing that for the second half of my life. I am being intentional, figuring out where I'm supposed to go, figuring out where he's trying to take me, and figuring out how to get there. Because I'm not going to spend any more of my life in that spirit of overwhelm and confusion and worry and restlessness and feeling uneasy and uncertain and not having joy and not having peace. Now that I know what that feels like, I'm not living another day without it. And I don't want you to either. You're in your 40s. Or you're very close to it. I know some of you are a little bit younger than that. This is your decade to grow. This is your decade to learn. This is your decade to get super intentional about where you are headed for the rest of your life. And what you do during this period of midlife can change everything. If it just happens to you, you may not really like how the rest of it's going to look, but you can definitely make it happen for you. And have a big part in partnering with God and determining exactly how you can be intentional and do your part so that it looks how it's supposed to look. And so that you get to live the life that he has for you. It is a beautiful, purposeful, meaningful life of peace and joy. And I want you to find it. You must be intentional. And then the last one, and this is a big one, two, this is something that I'm actually going to be delving into a little bit more in the very near future, because we cannot ignore the fact that our bodies at this stage of life are changing. They're changing physically on the outside. They're changing physically on the inside. A lot of us, unfortunately, at this time in our life start having some health issues. We may have been battling some extra weight for a really long time. You might be dealing with high blood pressure. You might be pre-diabetic. Like a lot of these things start to rear their ugly heads. And heart disease in women is just, the statistics are just staggering. Like it's taking out so many women. And a lot of it has to do with what's going on physically and, you know, the stressors that we talked about before and all of these things. So yes, we have to be super intentional with what we're doing in our spiritual life, in our emotional life, taking care of our mental health, but your body, you have to take care of your body. The way that you feel your body affects all of those other things as well. We are whole beings, and our physical body is a big part of that too. You have to pay attention to your body. I've made some massive changes in my diet over the last couple of years that have really impacted my health and how good I feel. And again, things that I've been dealing with for the entirety of my life, not to get too gross, but I've had irritable bowel syndrome for my entire life. I have now realized that that is tied to gluten and gluten sensitivity. And I made some adjustments to my diet and I feel so much better than I ever have. And I was headed probably down a not very pretty path, because if you do have issues with your intestines because of gluten sensitivity, you basically are doing permanent damage to your body. So I'm really glad that I made those changes. So again, that's something that I'm going to delve into a little bit more in the future. Before I did Grace Over 40, I was doing health and wellness. A big part of that for me is nutrition. That's the biggest part of it for me. I didn't really get a whole lot into exercise, although that's super important too, but nutrition is that's like totally speaking my language. I even wrote a cookbook. Did you know that? You probably didn't know that. I wrote a cookbook. It's a cookbook for moms. Easy healthy meals for the tired ASS mom. Right? How funny is that? It's true. That was the title of my cookbook. You know, I'm a little bit on the salty side. So yeah, I have a cookbook. If you're interested, let me know. But yeah, our bodies, we have to pay attention to them. What are they trying to tell you? What changes do you need to make now that you're in your 40s? What changes can you make that will benefit you for the rest of your life? We need to start really, really thinking about that and being intentional about that as well. So that was a lot. Again, I feel like I was kind of rambling for part of it, but there was a lot that I wanted to convey to you. There's been a lot going through my head over the last couple of weeks. All of these things, it just blows my mind, all of the things that I have been shown and taught in the last 10 years. And now that I'm 50, I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. It was so hard. It was so hard to go through some of that stuff, but that's where growth happens, and that's what brought me to where I am right now. And I'm ready to help you, friend. I'm ready to help you. I know that it can be difficult. I know that it can sometimes feel like you don't know where to start. I have been all of those places. I've felt completely overwhelmed. I have felt basically like frozen in place because I didn't even know how to start to move forward. I didn't even know what I wanted to move forward to. Like, I've been all of those places. So if you are struggling in your 40s, or if you feel like you are on basically the verge of either entering into a midlife crisis, or you know you're in a midlife crisis, or you're just really having a hard time trying to figure out how to sort things out midlife, I would love to help you. Again, I have the Activate studies. If you want to look for something that is a little bit more on like the self-study side, each of them is seven action steps that you can take. You can start taking action right away. You can start to see changes right away. Places that I have grown and areas that I have grown in my life over the last decade, all the things I was taught, all the things I was shown, all the ways that God helped me through all of this stuff. And now I have packaged them up in neat little bundles for you to start really being intentional about these areas of your life as well. If you need more one-on-one, if you want somebody to kind of hold your hand through this, support you, give you more specific, personalized course of action for how you can start to sort things out and move forward, I do offer an 8-week mentorship program as well. It's called Project Me. And we work one-on-one on a roadmap for your life, basically. Like, how are we going to partner with God? What types of things do we need to be doing right now? What do we need to be looking for? Where are your spiritual gifts? What could your purpose possibly look like? You know, all these different things, and it's personalized. So wherever you feel like you're struggling the most is what we will focus on. We cover several different things, but we can focus on where you feel like you're struggling the most in your life. So that, again, is called Project Me. It is a one-on-one, 8-week mentorship program. I would love to be there to support you, encourage you, be your cheerleader, and help you sort some stuff out and get some clarity through midlife. So both of those things are available on my website. You can go check that out, graceover40.com. Thank you so much for listening to me pour out my 40 through 49-year-old heart and all the stuff that I've been through and all the things that I've learned. I hope that you found something helpful here today, and I can't wait to see you guys next time. Thanks so much for listening. Hey, I just wanted to take a quick second to thank you so much for listening to this episode of Grace Over 40. It just means the world to me that you're here. I also wanted to invite you to please follow me on social media. You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and Pinterest as Grace Over 40. I would love to have you join me there. And I really love also getting emails from you guys. So please feel free to shoot me an email at julie@graceover40.com. Also, if you're enjoying this podcast, would you either share it with your friends and or take a second to just go leave me a quick rating and a comment? Doing those things helps me get my message in front of even more people, and it would just mean the absolute world to me. So thanks again for being here today, and I will see you next time.